Hey, good evening, everyone. Welcome back to the High Percentage Podcast. Today, we're talking about the last three submissions that you'll ever need to learn. And that's a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but actually, kind of not really when you look at the data. The High Percentage Podcast is the podcast dedicated to the science, data, and numbers behind Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. We watch hundreds and thousands of real BJJ matches and even street fights to determine what is working for the greatest number of people the greatest number of times. If you looked at the site this last week, we did a live stream, two live streams actually, and they're totaled about an hour long. And what we're doing is we're starting sort of what I'm calling the team study, which is we are going to look at some of the top performing teams in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, such as Alliance, 10th Planet, Gracie Baja, Enzo Gracie Squad. And we are going to start taking a look at what are some of the habits of the major competitors of this team. And I'm still kind of dialing in the most optimal and the fairest way to do this. One is we're questioning what team should we do. We know the first team that we're going to do is 10th Planet, but then after that, what should be some of our criteria? And then also within that, how should we record the matches? What belt level should we do? And even how deep into the team should we get? Gracie Baja is a great example. It's come up that, you know, they're obviously, I think, the largest team in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. And they have, I believe, like hundreds of schools all across the world. But should we focus on some of their sort of really core high-performing schools like GB Northridge? And similar questions are being asked with some of the other teams. People brought up Danaher Death Squad. How can we record them in a way that's fair? Because in a weird way, they're almost not really a team. They're in the sense that they're not an organization with affiliates and other kind of certified training centers. They are a competition team within the Enzo Gracie Academy headquarters in New York. I want to record them because clearly they're a powerhouse team and they deserve some study. At the same time, it's difficult to compare them to a sort of large team with multiple academies like, you know, AOJ or Atos. Another sort of news update. Last week at the end of the podcast, I mentioned that if you are listening to the podcast and you have a really clear idea for a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu study or a game theory study, to contact me and let's work together and try to collaborate, lay it out. We could publish it on the site. I could loan some of the resources of High Percentage as far as manpower to helping work through this in a faster, more efficient way than if you did it by yourself. And of course, we could work together to figure out the best way to record the data. Maybe, you know, me and the team will think of some things that you didn't think of as far as like the best way to collect it. And of course, when we publish it, I would give you full credit as being the person that organized it and thought of the idea. And it's a win-win because it's great content for the site. It informs people that that go to High Percentage, and you get to see your work published, which is great too. So after I sort of put out that call on last week's podcast, some people did contact me, and I'm in sort of various stages of talking with each of them. With at least one, you know, we're starting to get really down to the nitty-gritty details. We've sort of made up the kind of data collection that we're going to do, and hopefully we're going to start working on it soon, another study. And the ball's actually in my court, so I need to respond to that person and start, you know, getting things going. And I'm really excited about that. And if you've thought of something similar, even if your idea is not fully fleshed out, you know, send me an email. You can go to the highpercentagemartialarts.com website. There's a little email icon in the corner. And even if you're not quite sure exactly how it would work, you know, just put the feelers out there and say, hey, I was thinking about doing a study where we take a look at this. What do you think? What is the best way to do it? I'll weigh in because where there's a will, there's a way. Okay, let's talk about this episode's topic, which is sort of the top three submissions. And people ask me sometimes, has High Percentage changed my personal Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu game? And the answer is yes, it has. I am sort of a new school practitioner nowadays. I haven't always been like that, but you know, in our journey, we kind of go through phases, and I was definitely a big basics fundamentals guy when I first started, which makes sense. You probably should be when you're a white and blue belt. But then I changed and I started experimenting with more things, and I spent time training under the 10th planet system. So of course I became really progressive, and I personally like the crazy stuff. You know, I like the calf crankers. I like the leg entanglement positions. I like the, you know, sniping some triangles from the bottom of side mount sometimes. But to answer people's questions about how has the data that we've unearthed affected my game, I've also really returned to some of the core submissions, especially the armbar. We did a whole podcast episode on how powerful the armbar is, and all the data we have says that it is, you know, hands down the highest percentage submission, and it travels really well from white to black belt. And ever since I sort of discovered that, I really started doubling down on the armbar from any position, from guard, from the top of side control, obviously from mount, and that's really paid dividends. But as we've continued to do studies, we found that there's two other submissions that really rose to the top. Interestingly enough, these other two submissions were not necessarily high percentage when we first started collecting the data. Originally, the first study we ever did was 100 matches, and it was only white belts, only in a gi. And talk about sort of skewed sample sizes. What we found was that in a gi, in particular, the rear naked choke is just not really a factor. It's a fairly low percentage submission. And then for white belts, it's actually even lower percentage than the other belts averaged out, because I'm sure there's a lot of reasons, but white belts, it's more of a challenge for them to take the back, I suppose. And then the other one was the triangle, and the triangle was fairly low percentage for white belts. But as we continued to add several hundred more matches, and we looked at all the belt levels, and we also started looking at no-gi versus gi, a very clear triangle of submission started to emerge, which is the armbar, the rear naked choke, and the triangle. These three submissions combined, according to the data we have right now, are making up a little bit more than half of every submission that we are recording. In fact, those three are making up numerically more submissions than all the other submissions combined. And that includes, you know, everything that you'd think of. It includes Kimuras, it includes heel hooks, it includes guillotines and things like that. So this is sort of the core three. And what's really cool about this core three is that they are the top three submissions at every individual belt level as well, to varying degrees. I'm going to give you some data right now. I just want to say before I start this, if you're a super eagle-eyed listener and you compare the numbers that I say on this podcast to the website, they're going to be off by about 1 or 1.5% because I'm using an old spreadsheet and I didn't really save it in the correct way. So just be aware of that. It's not that big a deal. So starting with the armbar, at every single belt level, it was it made up a higher percentage of submissions than any other single submission. So at white belt, it made up about 23% of submissions. At blue belt, it was 26%. Purple, it was 20%. That was the lowest one. Brown was 23%. And really interestingly, armbars made up a greater percentage of submissions at the black belt level than all the other colored belts. It was 27% of all submissions at black belt. So that tells you that that is a submission, as I like to say, it travels well. It's going to be there present at the beginning of your journey, and it's going to be present at the end of your journey. The triangle is generally, but not always, the number two submission. So at the white belt level, triangles made up about 15%. Or I should say 16% of all submissions. Blue belt, it was 15, purple 13, brown 14, and black 14. Interestingly enough, when we watched 100 white belt matches in a gi, the triangle landed much more often than the rear naked choke. The rear naked choke was very, very rare. However, when we upped that to 100 white belt matches and half of them were no gi, what we found was that the RNC actually outperformed the triangle. And this is a trend that you see a lot with the top three submissions. So the armbar kind of stands out as the sort of, it's the all-around best submission. Gi, no gi, it doesn't matter. It's always number one. With the triangle, it's usually number two. But with the RNC, it's a little bit different. With the RNC, what we see is that it is primarily a no-gi submission. Competitors in the gi rarely land the RNC. It's sort of in the same numbers as Kimuras. or guillotines, or, you know, some middle of the road submissions, as I would call them. But when you look at no-gi matches, the RNC becomes a monster. In fact, when we watched 250 no-gi matches at all belt levels, what we found is that was the only circumstance in which the RNC actually technically outperformed the armbar. There was one more submission of RNCs than there was with the armbar, which tells you how powerful it is in no-gi matches. Some of you are probably thinking that, of course, it makes sense that the traditional RNC wouldn't be as popular in the gi, because when you take the back and your opponent has a gi and you have a gi, it opens up a lot more back submission options like the bow and arrow or the Ezekiel or various lapel chokes. And you're absolutely right. So when you look at just gi matches, you'll find that the armbar and the triangle are still high performers, but the RNC gets swapped out for the bow and arrow. The bow and arrow is a huge, huge finisher in gi matches, and it replaces the straight RNC as sort of that third tier submission. Whereas the triangle and the armbar are pretty much across the board steady and consistent as high finishers. Okay, so let's translate this into some usable information. First of all, if you're a new student, should you focus on these three submissions? Yeah, you should. However, just be aware that we have a lot of data that shows that there technically aren't any high percentage submissions for white belts. The highest percentage submission for white belts is the armbar, but in a sense, it's kind of not high percentage, because when we tracked armbar attempts, we found that it actually succeeded, I think, about 41% of the time. So that's still less than half. So what I would say is that, of course, and we talk about this in our game theory course, if you're a white belt, you really should focus on positional dominance, takedowns, and guard passing. That is the most reliable way to victory. However, for submissions as a white belt, we recommend focus on the armbar. Keep it simple. The great thing about the armbar is when you get really good at the mechanics, you can achieve it from virtually any position. You can get it from bottom of guard, top of side mount, top of mount. You can even get it from the back mount. Of course, you shouldn't forsake other submissions or sort of, you know, get behind the curve for when you get to blue belt, but just know that you'll get a lot of mileage out of the armbar. Now, for other students, intermediate students, blue, purple belts, or even brown belts, of course, you want to be well-rounded and learn the various different submissions, but just know that the triangle, the rear naked choke, and the bow and arrow choke, particularly in a gi, are going to serve you really well. Those are also submissions, particularly the triangle, you can get from a couple different positions. And, you know, the rear naked choke, it's just such a high percentage finisher, particularly in no-gi. Those are sort of your core three submissions that are going to outperform all of the others. Last note worth making on this is that even if you do not favor these submissions and you have other ones that are high percentage for you personally, just know that these are the three submissions that people are going to come at you with. So in terms of dedicating your time to learning submission counters, submission defenses, go with these three of 100%. This is what your opponents are going to be using in tournaments to try to finish you, and these are what they're going to finish you with unless you learn some sound defenses against them. Okay, that's all for this podcast. I want to take some time to really thank everyone that listens to this podcast and visits the site. In this month, the month of August 2019, the site got more traffic in a single month than it's ever gotten in the history since I started it. And that's really amazing to see. And not just the site, but I think the podcast got more downloads this month than it has ever gotten. So we are really, really growing, and I take that responsibility seriously. I want to keep coming up with great new content, and I hope some of the new things that we sort of got in the oven will help with that. And of course, you know, if you have ideas or feedback for us, you know, please reach out to us and let us know. We want to get better. We want to be, you know, giving the data that people want to hear. But so far, just the raw analytics of site traffic and how long people spend on the site and how many articles they read tells us that we're doing something right. And I'm really happy about that, because when I first created the website a year ago, I really just never thought anyone would really care. But it has, you know, kind of started to catch on a little bit, and I'm excited. I get fired up all the time thinking about new stuff that I can put on the site. If you want to check out more stuff by me, I have a book that's published on Amazon called The True Believers, and you can look it up. The True Believers, Lewis Martin, has a lot of five-star reviews, seems to be really well-received. It's a nonfiction book, and it's about, of course, martial arts and Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and it's a story. It's more of a narrative-driven thing. Also, I'm starting to do more work and write for a website called Grappling Insider. A lot of the work I'm doing is sort of behind the scenes with the site infrastructure, but I am writing and posting some articles, and we're going to be doing a lot of ADCC coverage, including maybe some interviews that I might be able to do with some, I think, some pretty exciting names. So keep an eye out if you're looking for a place to get ADCC news in the month of September. GrapplingInsider.com is going to be, I think, probably the industry leader as far as coverage and interviews that we have. Okay, thank you for listening, and I will see you next week. Take care.